Join me in Exodus chapter 12, please. I have already made reference to the Passover lamb, etc., so I hope you have some idea of where I'm headed. But this message this morning is an answer to a request. The Sunday School Quarterly in the fall semester, I will call it, had a message of the Exodus, the Passover. And so one of our elders came to me and said, this would be a great message for the rest of the church to hear. And so he asked me to do this. And so here we are.
Thank you, Lynn.
So it will not be the Sunday school lesson that you heard if you were there, but it is pretty much the essence of that lesson. But it's incredibly important for us to understand the origins of this Lord's Supper. And more, well, as a part of that, the role blood plays in those origins. And so here, as I read to you Exodus 12, 1 through 13, and then moving to verse 21. And again, I'm reading from the ESV. And so if you have an NIV, you'll see a few changes, but I pray that you follow along well. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. This is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now to verse 21, please. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that's in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his most holy and errant word. the spilling of blood. It is ours, the Christian's, salvation. It is by the spilled blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, that we have salvation. It is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we not only have salvation, but have eternity with our Lord. Life, eternal life, it's in the blood. As we will sing here as we close our service, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, in today's world, it seems somewhat crude, maybe even awkward, and for some uncomfortable to talk about blood in this way. Today, because of rampant disease, we fear touching blood. So it can be crude to some that blood, spilled blood, the spilled blood of someone else, can mean so very much. You can see why ours is a religion some would call archaic, to have such teaching and ritual. But all of this begins here, as I have just read, in the captive days of the Israelites, when God brought curses and plagues upon the Egyptians, upon the land of Egypt. And there were two objectives that the Lord God did this. One, as he told Moses in the very beginning, to show the mighty power of the Almighty. He wanted to show the Israelites as well as the Egyptians the mighty power of his hand. And so all of these plagues were brought. Each one had a particular objective. But all of these plagues were brought to show the mighty hand of God, that no one would be confused as to who was responsible. Secondly, in doing this, it was to secure the Israelites as his people. And so two objectives in this plagues and this act. It was to show his mighty power and to secure his people. Now, before we begin digging in here and talking about the shedding of blood of this little Passover lamb, I want to read you a passage that I want you to hold in the back of your mind and sort of let it echo as we're talking through all of this. If you would like, turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 17. Now, I know all of you know where Leviticus is. We spend so much time in the book of Leviticus. We do need to be there on occasion. Leviticus 17, verse 10. Leviticus 17, 10. If anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 11 is the key verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Therefore I have said to the people of Israel, no person among you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger who sojourns among you eat blood. Not only does blood portray spiritual life as we're talking of it in this context, it literally is our life. Now, that goes without saying. Every one of us know that we must have blood racing through our veins in order to live. Well, that's the point here in verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Our blood flowing through us gives us life. We must have the blood within us to live. As well, in the spiritual context, we must also have the shed blood of another to have eternal life. So, hold that in the back of your head, in your mind, as we are talking about this Passover. Now back to Exodus 12. The feast of the Passover. The feast was instituted to remember the deliverance of Israel from the 10th plague. Now please notice, the 10th plague was to kill the firstborn of both man and beast. That was both Israelite and Egyptian. It was intended for both. All the firstborn in the land were to die. Yet in those homes where this message was given and then obeyed, where blood of the Passover lamb was painted, spread over the door, the firstborn would not die. Here we see very clearly that the spilled blood of another, in this case a lamb, provided salvation, provided safety, provided security. The Passover lamb, each household was to select a lamb. It was to be 1 year old. It was to be without blemish. They were told how to keep and how to raise this animal to prepare it to be killed. We might ask the question, why bother with such details about a lamb? Why is there so much detail about the particularities of this lamb? Well, there's a message there, of course. First of all, this lamb was an offering to the Almighty. It was a sacrifice, an offering given to God. So an offering given to God should represent the level of integrity and desire of worship you have for God. So we bring something to God in our offering that's perfect, or that is unblemished, that is good, that is best. God is holy and perfect, majestic, and high and lifted up. Our worship should represent the same. Now, it's not our performance alone. Most of the time it's not our performance, it's our hearts. What's in our hearts as we bring offering of worship to God? Do we see God as high and holy and lifted up? And do we seek to bring that which is unblemished in our offering of worship? I must confess to you that sometimes here in worship, when I look out across this congregation and I see the faces and I see your attitude toward worship, I wonder. Now, I can't see your heart. I don't know your heart. I can only go by this you show me. So my judgment could be as in error as I am most times. But in our hearts, do we see this offering of worship just like this little Passover lamb, unblemished and perfect as we can make it? Now, the lack of defect in the lamb also symbolizes the moral perfection of the victim. The lamb has done nothing to deserve this. But a substitute to give life, forgiveness to meet the demand of the law, this lamb had to be without blemish. As Dr. Mark Ross says in the Quarterly, of which I'm pulling some of this from, he said, in God's salvation, it's not the sinner who dies for the sinner, but a sinless one who dies for the sinner. The sinless lamb, unblemished, dies as a sacrifice for that one who is in sin. I hope you can see where this is headed. All of this points to Jesus Christ quite, quite clearly. The unblemished lamb represents a life lived without error or turmoil. Nothing has occurred in this young lamb's life that would cause stain or imperfection. So not only is he to be that perfect one offered in perfection, but that perfection represents a life lived without error. And see, again, this is Jesus Christ. Walked this earth just like you and I, but had no sin. Paul writes in the letter to Corinthians, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus had no sin. But yet, like the Passover lamb, in his perfection, he was offered up as your sacrifice. All of this brings us to this table. All of this brings us to this table. In Exodus 12:13, I tell you again, Moses writes, the blood shall be a sign. The blood shall be a sign for you. Just as the angel of death came to that home and saw the blood over the door, he understood the symbology. He understood the sign not to enter. That home is protected. Judgment will not come to that household. It's the same here with this table for you and I. It is, first of all, following the institution of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as I told the children. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Well, that goes back to what God told Moses. This is a statute. Teach your children and do this so they will remember. It's also fulfilling the orders, as I've said, that Moses said to observe this rite for you and your sons. But it's also a sign. It's a sign to you pointing to the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sign to us of the Lord Jesus Christ who was unblemished, who was the Passover lamb, who was indeed sacrificed for you. It started a long, long time ago when the Passover lamb was killed to save the Israelites and to name them securely as the people of God. It is the same for you. It is the same for you. The Lord passes over you because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is spread over you by the power of the Holy Spirit in redemption. Jesus Christ, rather the Holy Spirit, comes. And instead of you bearing the brunt of the conviction of your sin, instead of you being nailed to that cross for the conviction of your own sin, the Holy Spirit looks at you and sees the blood of Jesus Christ and passes over. Judgment is not yours. The judgment of sin is not yours. How many of you in this room is worthy of that? Not one. Not one. But notice the Passover story never made a qualification to the level of life or the level of quality of life for the people. Never mentioned it. Now, there was the teaching of obedience to the law of God, but not as a stipulation. And it's the same with you. Yes, we are to be obedient. We are to live lives in humble reliance upon God, seeking to please Him with what we do. But because we're human, we fail. How many of you know in the depth of your heart? How many of you know in the very depth of your heart that your dependence upon the blood of Jesus Christ stands at the very core of your being? Grace. 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 Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who lived a perfect life, the one who was unblemished and gave his life. The table of the Lord's Supper tells us these things. The blood of salvation, I pray, is spread over you. And it's actually a simple matter if it's not. Do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as indeed Lord? And have you given Him your life and are in humble, humble reliance in all that He is and has for you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do indeed need the blood to cover. We need the blood to cover. The blood of salvation, the unblemished lamb, the one who knew no sin, was made to be sin, so that we might, this is so hard to believe, that we might become the righteousness of God. It is only in the blood of Christ that we do. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.